you were very much talking about brands. So it was, you know, show off your brands, talk about brands. Instagram first was a platform of bragging about brands and, you know, look at this car and look at this holiday I'm on. And the biggest difference between us, and we've stopped doing that because we're a generation that very much has to change and adapt quickly, whereas Gen Z is all about uniqueness.
Welcome to this month's episode of the Business of Weddings podcast. I'm Mira, ex-wedding planner, author, bridal coach, and the creative director here at Now to Vow, which I'm extremely excited to announce, by the way, and of course, your official host for this season. We're back after a month off, so actually, this is an extra special episode, which is jam-packed with lots of great insights and information. This month, we're talking about Gen Z versus millennials and the different ways in which they approach weddings, which is obviously really key for suppliers like us to know. So just to give you a little bit of background context, we categorize millennials as those born between 1981 and 1996, whereas Gen Z is anyone born between 1997 and the year 2012. So Gen Z are roughly around 24 years old and starting to get married, and will be the generation who we as suppliers will be working with more often in the coming years. It's important to note that this episode is focused on the wider spectrum. So in all honesty, there might not be a huge difference, say, between a certain 24-year-old and 27-year-old, but looking at the generations in more detail is certainly very useful for us. Now, I spoke to lots of guests for this episode, and sadly, not everyone will be someone you hear from, as we didn't have enough time to kind of fit them all in. But you will be hearing from the likes of Monica Poppy, who is an expert on generational differences with a marketing background and actually in the middle of both generations herself. You'll also hear from Nandita Brambert, who has taken charge of her family's restaurant and catering business, Indigos, along with Gen Z guests Himani and Sakshi Mistry, who helped them on Nisha with their wedding, family business and floristry business, and Sajni Midlani, who's a law student and wedding enthusiast. In addition to this, we've conducted our own research and gathered data from a survey, details of which I'll be sharing with you too. Now, I know I'm a little biased, but it's going to be a good one. So get comfy, grab yourself a cup of tea, and let's get started.
So I personally fall at the very end of the millennial generation. I think because of that, I can resonate a lot with Gen Z, because there's a lot of traits in people that are Gen Z that my little brother's Gen Z that I see that in myself. But it's almost like seeing a more advanced version of yourself and your own habits. I think the biggest difference is that when millennials were growing up, we grew up right at the start of the sort of revolution of social media, right? So we followed coming up into Facebook and then Instagram starting, YouTube and influencers being a thing to begin with, whereas they were straight into that as soon as, you know, they started being able to kind of use their own phones and computers. Social media was already around. So I think our habits come from a mixture of, so Gen Z is completely online, whereas millennials are still very much a mix of Gen X and Gen Z. I think we've been the transitional generation, which is really interesting to see.
As Monica mentioned, there is a difference between how millennials use and experience social media in comparison with how Gen Z does. Because let's face it, for them, it's always existed. This therefore also influences their purchasing habits. And Monica goes on to further explain why.
I was talking to my mom about this, and she said, you know, when she was younger, if you wanted to buy something that was a French brand, you had to travel to France. There was no way you could get it otherwise. So for them, they're content by the fact that they can even get the French stuff or whatever. They're not competing with others because they didn't really, you know, they use Facebook and now Instagram, but they weren't catapulted straight into this. Here's social media. Suddenly you can see what everyone has. Suddenly it's acceptable that everyone's uploading pictures of holidays, clothes, shoes, cars, watches, you know. So I think we're really damaged as a generation. I think we really have to have that fight within ourselves where we have to be like, no, I understand that I want these things, just like I want a lot of sugar. We still are the generation that had to go through two major changes. So when we first started to come out of age with purchasing our own things and using our own money, and because of the growth of social media, so like it suddenly became acceptable to talk about money, which before that was kind of a hush-hush subject, I believe. But money became, especially flaunting money, became a lot more accepted with our generation of millennials, right? So that became a thing of you were very much talking about brands. So it was, you know, show off your brands, talk about brands. Instagram first was the platform of bragging about brands and, you know, look at this car and look at this holiday I'm on. And the biggest difference between us, and we've stopped doing that because we're a generation that very much has to change and adapt quickly, whereas Gen Z is all about uniqueness. So their thing is that even their Instagram or, you know, social media is all about being unique. It's not as much braggy, but it's about unique experiences, unique items, unique objects, unique photography skills. You know, that's their main objective, is to be as different as possible. So yeah, I think that's the main difference, actually. So we're very much about status and symbol, whereas Gen Z is very much about uniqueness.
That last point about status and symbol versus uniqueness is something that is going to be echoed throughout this episode. Gen Z is very much about authenticity, owning who they are, and not being afraid to showcase that to the world. This is something Nandita has also experienced when working with couples. She's found Gen Z to have a clear idea about what they want and almost being proud to stand out, whereas millennials are known to want to fit in a little more and be a bit more like everyone else due to the idea of this status symbol.
It's very difficult to predict, but what I foresee them doing here is a lot more like themed weddings with a lot more kind of the same concept running all the way through. But I also see a really lovely kind of finesse and a very nice elegance to the weddings, which is, again, I think it's very Gen Z. They've got their ideas. They've got certain things that they love. And they're not always just trying to outdo other people or be like, oh, my wedding's going to be better than someone else's. But I do think they're bringing their own personalities to the wedding, which is very nice. And they're also bringing their own ideas. So as opposed to outdoing someone in terms of scale or extravagance, they might be trying to outdo them by just making it their own or trying to make it very personal. And I really like that, because I think, again, that was not the case before. It was all very standard, you know, people had to be better or bigger, or sometimes people just wanted to have what everybody else was having.
Gen Z are completely about uniqueness. They do not care about the brand. They would rather go and find the most unique, one-of-a-kind dress and upcycle it, redo it, whatever, because they prefer to stand out. It's not about, oh, I want to have what everyone else has.
Now let's hear from Gen Z themselves, Himani and Sakshi Mistry from Niche Flowers and Sajni Madlani.
Well, I feel like younger couples, they want what they want. Like, they know what they want. They'll come in and say, I want this, 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 and this. Like, regardless of anything, they know what they want because they've seen it and they've got their hearts out on it. Whereas, like, before, I feel like it was like whoever's paying for it has a bit more input in what, like, goes, like, what goes on the day.
But I think it also depends on the couple as well. I feel like everyone's trying to go for more different. I think I've got a pretty good indication of what I like and what I don't like. I think that also comes from my sort of stubborn personality, in the sense that I'm very, very confident on what I don't like. So I think I'm quite easy to rule out things. Maybe that's not always a good thing, because you should be open to new things. But yeah, I would say that I know what I like and what I don't like.
Everybody's different, and especially our generation, everybody's trying to be more different. So I feel like with weddings will be different. Like, everybody's going to try get what they want in a different style, a different way, however they go about it. So I feel like that's it, like our generation just open to more change to make it more like us. So it's like, this is me,
more personal to them.
Yeah.
So at this point, we've heard about and uncovered some of the differences between millennials and Gen Z. But the real question is, How does this affect us as suppliers? What we're really trying to understand here is how Gen Z are approaching wedding planning. So let's dive in a little deeper into this and hear from Sajni and Nandita.
Just that I think with my generation, it's going to be a lot more, and I think it already is heading that way, where the couple actually take charge of everything and they're going to be obviously the people who plan the weddings. Because I know obviously prior to this generation, it was sort of the parents that did everything, but that's obviously rapidly changing. And I think that suppliers know that as well, which is why I think a lot of them are increasing their social media presence and things like that, for example.
I'll often spend a year and a half planning some weddings, sometimes 2 years, countless meetings, tastings, presentation ideas, mood boards, lots of Pinteresting, just really looking for inspiration. So I kind of have a lot of involvement from the bride and groom. I do love it, actually. I do really, because I thrive on that kind of looking for new ideas. So the same food being presented in different ways, creating a bit of a wow factor. And I think this new generation, they're very much exposed to different cultures when they travel to different countries or they visit restaurants or events that are conducted with different cultural influences. So often I see like Mediterranean feel going on in some of my events. We get a little bit from like the Middle East kind of thing. You know, a lot of Italian, like we sort of really bringing in a lot of different feels into the wedding events now. And as, like I said, I love it. And I know that we're able to deliver on so much of it, but definitely a lot more involvement I'm seeing from the brides and grooms. But in it, like I said, in a very positive way, they're bringing a lot of their own ideas. They're bringing a lot of their own concepts. And then we go away and think of our own as well, because some of them work with the food. Some of them are great in theory, but then don't work in practice. So very, very different way of conducting weddings now.
Weddings are being conducted differently and couples are getting more involved for sure. But this isn't something that's occurred overnight. We've actually seen a gradual shift from parents having a larger say, for example, to couples having the final say. And this is only going to increase as time goes on and the couples get younger. It's interesting because this is something that is actually backed by our survey. We found that Gen Z couples are spending more time on planning their wedding than millennials and are looking to put in more effort and utilize their personal time because, as we've discovered, they want their wedding to reflect them personally. Something else that is worth noting is that when asked what the most important thing they were looking for in suppliers was, Gen Z suggested that the supplier understanding their vision was most important. While this is also important for millennials, they are also more concerned about having a good relationship with their suppliers, which is something that rated a lot lower for Gen Z. This shows us that Gen Z know what they want and they will put in the effort to make it happen regardless.
I don't think it'd be overly large at all. I think that if I ever get married, I think that it will be a very intimate thing where I would only really want people to be there that I know want to be there. Because I know sometimes it can be sort of a domino effect where people think if I invite one family or one person, then, you know, automatically another two families need to be invited. And obviously you have to keep civil. And I know that sometimes, you know, there might be a little bit of conflict, but I think as intimate as I could keep it.
I think they'll be a lot smaller, like not only because of the pandemic, but I feel like nowadays everybody just, it's just nice to be like, in a smaller crowd with the people that you like being around and surrounding yourself around, like the people that make you happy. So like, that will resonate in like a wedding environment as well.
We've been hearing that Gen Z want to do things differently, but what we're looking for is something tangible that we can see that shows us why these weddings will be different. And you may not be surprised to hear it, but one thing that keeps coming up in conversations is in fact smaller weddings.
What I see the biggest shift in them is probably the size of weddings. They're not so keen on having huge weddings. They are very keen on probably moving. I see it moving towards slightly smaller ones by their preference, because the parents would have wanted to involve everybody that the parents have known over all of these years. Whereas the Gen Zs seem to be like, well, I don't know those people and I'd much rather have a more intimate wedding.
The mentality of, oh, I want to have a really big, grand wedding to impress 1,000 people that I don't no, that mentality has also gone out the window. So I said in the beginning that the Gen Z is a more advanced version of millennials, right? So we started first talking about money, about flaunting, but Gen Z took it a step further to talk about money and actually budgeting, and that it's okay to talk about, no, I can't afford that kind of a wedding, or I can't afford purchasing that kind of a diamond ring because I would rather put that money towards a house, towards a future, or I would like to have a smaller, more expensive wedding, but just for my close family, because I don't want to, just because it's socially accepted that I have to invite people that I don't even know because they're related to me somehow. They started talking more about these things, that it's okay to say no. It's okay to have all kinds of different kinds of weddings, whatever you prefer, rather than what is the standard and what's the, you know, traditional way of doing it and what is deemed acceptable socially. I think even during the pandemic, it was quite interesting to see whoever was Gen Z and had, although few, got married during the pandemic. The millennials were like, oh no, there's no way I'm gonna have a very small wedding of six people. That's absolutely not going to happen. Whereas Gen Z were the ones that were more willing to do so. I think it's because they were actually way more comfortable with talking about what they want and don't want, and really not being as interested in being socially acceptable.
Gen Z definitely want to have smaller weddings. The pandemic may have accelerated this thought process, but it's not a surprise that this trend is here to stay, especially when we think about the typical size of an Indian wedding. Smaller weddings aren't necessarily a bad thing from a supplier point of view either. You see, in our survey, we found that though the size of weddings will be decreasing, the spend on weddings overall will stay the same, which means the spend per head is actually going to increase. Gen Z want their weddings to be personal and meaningful. Though they'll be smaller, they're probably going to be pretty amazing given how much time, effort, and money they'll be putting towards them, which is actually quite an exciting thing to see as a supplier. But something else we probably want to know is where this generation is getting their ideas from. What is driving their thought process? Let's hear from Monica and Sajni about this.
We still think of, you know, okay, influencers, but we still also very much get, so to say, influenced by the surroundings of family, friends, celebrities, TV, whereas Gen Z is very much about the online presence, whether it's a person, an influencer, or them going through so many reviews or seeing a viral video that's not necessarily an influencer, but that video went viral on, I don't know, a strawberry dress, for instance. I remember a few months ago, there was a dress that just blew up just because it was just a meme about it.
I would say I'm maybe a little bit more impulsive in my shopping compared to my parents, and also potentially I sort of know more about what's currently going on. Not to say that my parents don't, but I would say because I am in that sort of Gen Z sort of, you know, generation, I'm just more up to date with things. And I think that then being up to date is sort of then keeping up with things, like you feel not the need to, but sort of the influence to keep up and sort of match what everybody else is doing. So that's mostly all online. I do follow quite a few of the Indian designers, like, you know, so the Sabyasachi and, you know, the big ones. So I think everybody does follow them, and then you see their designs and their sort of constant changing of their embroidery and things like that through different seasons. And also quite a few Indian sort of influencers and things that have been getting married recently and things. So you see them through that, and then you sort of get a bit of inspiration of, okay, I think I like the pastel trend and things like that. I think if the majority of my friends didn't like something that I liked, I think that would influence. But then if I was very, very set on something, then I feel like it would be different to change my mind.
It's clear that Gen Z go about their research differently, and a large part of their process is online. It's not just about Instagram, though. It's about the whole online world. They'll be summarizing things from everywhere, whether it's reviews, images, comments, and so on. In our survey, we found Gen Z are more likely to turn to social media, look at what everyone else is saying, including the opinion of their friends, more so than millennials. In fact, unlike with millennials, they are also less bothered about their wider family and even suppliers. What this actually means is that they are less likely to be led by other suppliers and turn to them for advice, they're more likely to do their own research and ask their suppliers to implement something. And this is where suppliers will have to get a little more savvy and be a bit more switched on. For Gen Z, remember, it's about the whole wider online narrative. They won't go into anything blind. So as suppliers, what does this mean and what should we do?
You know, the thing is, I think because it's such a big shift in mentality, especially if you go from the generations before that to this, the past 10 years for every industry, it's been either adapt or just fade away. You have to adapt to these new ways people are buying, new ways people are making decisions. And if you're transparent, you're going to get a lot more consumers coming to you. For an instance, if you say, oh, we're locally produced, but actually make a point of like how you treat your workers, the start and finish of a journey of a flower, how much emission that will take in. People like to know this stuff and people like to actually talk about this stuff at their weddings. They can even put that information on the, you know, the little leaflets and pamphlets you get at weddings and talking about, you know, a conversation point. If you go about doing it like that, I think you will be successful in this industry. But if you keep trying to push for the bigger, you know, luxury market and we want it as grand as possible and as expensive as possible, there is a market still there. But that I give that 10 years before even that fades away.
How do you then have to change and adapt? Or do
quite
you?
A lot, actually, I have to bring in more younger people than me. So at one time, I was probably able to bring in some of the fresh ideas. At the moment, Mira, I'm working on having a younger team with me because sometimes I can't always keep up with the ideas because I know that, like you just said, the Gen Z will have different thoughts, different ways. So as a business, we have to evolve. And we have to bring in more fresh talent, fresh ideas, you know, team members who are passionate just as much as we are, but younger, younger, even in their thinking, they don't necessarily have to be younger in age, but, you know, just bringing in breath of fresh air to what we do.
They were definitely some wise words from Monica and Nandita, and a great way to sum up this episode. As you can see, the industry is changing and adapting is key. But it's also a really exciting time for everyone. Knowing your market is a great start, and this is exactly what we aim to do with this episode. Before I leave you, I just want to share that this is our last episode for this season. I've had such a great time meeting so many wonderful guests and learning myself, and we aim to come back next season with a lot more of the same. In the meantime, we'd love to hear your feedback. Do drop us a message via our socials and don't forget to follow us at Now to Vow and do head over to our website at nowtovow.co.uk. While we take a break, remember you can head back and listen to any of our previous episodes. We've covered a range of things from fusion weddings, the secrets of successful sales, inspirations from India, intimate weddings, and so on. We look forward to connecting with you soon.
This episode was brought to you by Now to Vow. We make it easy for couples to find and book suppliers for their Indian wedding. If you're in the industry, you can list your service on our platform at no cost. Head over to nowtovow.co.uk to get started. The Business of Weddings is a monthly podcast. We preview the episodes on Instagram Live on the third Friday of every month. Follow us at now_2_vow and join the discussion. Subscribe to this podcast to get the latest episodes before anyone else. And if you've enjoyed listening to it, please leave us a review so we can reach more people.